Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Hallelujah. What I want to talk to you today is living life from the inside out. Not from the outside in, but living life from the inside out. You know, we hear this phrase, you know, we walk by faith and not by sight. In order to even do that, you will have to live from the inside out, because you can't do that living from the outside in. We don't walk by circumstances. You walk by circumstances. I even say this. You walk by your soul, you're going to be in a pickle. You're not designed to be walking by the soul. The soul is to be renewed on a daily basis. But we are called to live out of the inward or the inner man, the hidden man. That is where the powerhouse of God resides. That is where the kingdom of God is. And everything flows out of the inward man. That is, I call it, and I picked it up somewhere from somebody, but that's your birthing center. Everything that you give birth to comes from the inward man. It's not coming out over here. Now, it may manifest, but it's going to come through you. Everything that's good in life comes through you. It's going to come through the inward man. And we have to learn to live inside out. Now, God's not impressed. Now, see, a lot of times we're stuck. I have to watch this. We live in a society, touch, feel, see our five senses. But in God's kingdom, it's a whole nother operating system. In His system, it's not governed by what you see to all your senses, even though we live by Him and we don't deny things, but we have His system of truth, His system, His word, which trumps what we see and what we feel. So we got to give His word first place in our lives. That's part of living from the inside out. Because what you see isn't the truth. What you see is a fact. All facts are subject to change. They're just temporary. What you're going through is just a temporary circumstance. It's all subject to change. If you have faith, it is subject to change. But if you have no faith on the inside, honey, it's not going to change. Now natural circumstances may change it. That happens. But if you want God to move, you're going to have to birth it from within. Now, I want to look at this in 1 Samuel 16 because God looks at something else. Here we have the prophet Samuel going to Jesse's house, and he's going to anoint one of his sons. I think it's interesting. God tells Samuel to do something, but He doesn't give him all the details. He just says, I want you to go to this house, and I want you to anoint one of his sons. But He didn't say which one. Come on, when God gives you something to do, you got to be prompt on the obedient part. Right. Just go. I said, just go. He's not going to give you every little detail.
That's right.
If you're waiting for all the details, all the little ducks to line up, you're going to be waiting for a while. Just be obedient and do what He says. Go. Do that part. Then once you get there, He'll give you what you need to know. He tells you, I'm on this, but I'm just going with it. He tells you to go to the brook, right? Well, the brook for the prophet Elijah or Elisha, one of them, it all dried up, right? Well, didn't God tell him to go there? Why is the brook all dried up? Because he has a new assignment. We're just to be obedient in what he says. He says, go here, goes here, go here, you go there. And if that dries up, if you'll listen, he'll speak, he'll give you another assignment. But it's all by steps. But anyway, let's get back to this point. So Samuel has to go. He's going to go and anoint one of Jesse's sons. But they come to the first son. You know the story, but I'm kind of going through this. Samuel says, I don't have my glasses with me. It's not in there, is it? You got them? Okay. let me see. Verse 7, it says, the Lord says to Samuel, let's back it up. Verse 6, you got to bear with me. Verse 6, Samuel says, surely, he looks at the first son, he goes, surely this is the dude. This has to be the one. He looks so good. This is the guy. He's an athlete. He's an all-star. I see some trophies on the mantle here. Yeah, I see his name. Oh, yes, he did. I don't have to ask the Lord. No, the Lord says, no, this ain't the one. The Lord said to Samuel, he says, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature. Listen, because what you look at isn't telling you the whole story. It's what's inside the person is going to tell you the story. It goes on and said, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It's what's in here. And I'm saying we have to live out of that place. Living life out of that inward man. That your spirit man is a new creation in Christ. Don't underestimate who you are in Christ Jesus. That in itself is a powerhouse. What's in you? Do you think God would give you something that's weak and just a pitiful looking thing? He made you into a new species. Something that's never existed before. You're created in Christ Jesus. That in itself should tell you that your spirit man should be strong. And he is strong if you'll just feed him the right substance called the Word of God. Amen. He'll grow stronger and stronger and stronger. So God looks at the inward man. In Psalms 103, David said, he said, I'll bless the Lord, all, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Notice he said in Psalm 103, all that is within. Within. Say within. Within me. In other words, we ought to have a praise coming up out of the inward man. Out of the wells of salvation. There ought to be some joy coming up. You may have to prime the pump a little bit. You may have to shout for joy a little bit. But it's there. It's there. I'm telling you, it's there. Sometimes it just takes a little effort to prime the pump. The inward man should dominate. And when you take the baptism of the Holy Spirit in there, you take that in the equation of it, now you got some dunamis from on high coming into the equation. Now things start mixing. I'm using this phrase, living life inside out, but have you ever got up early in the morning and put on your shirt inside out? Has anyone done that? Am I the only one? No, we've all done that. Now, hopefully, after, you know, 2 or 3 hours or so, you would catch that. Hand me the shirt. I just happen to have a shirt here. Living life inside out. God's not into the fluff. He's not into, you know what? You know, I have a three-piece suit. I like wearing that three-piece suit. I don't wear that suit for show. Obviously, because no one wears them, right? I'm the only one in Southern Indiana probably even has a three-piece suit. So what I'm trying to say is I could put on my suit, you know, three-piece and have a gold watch. You know, the old three-piece had a gold watch, you know, gold. That doesn't impress God a bit. That's more, see, when we get stuck on what we're, on the outward appearance on a person, a lot of that is religion. A lot of, it's just religion. There's no power in that. So I got this shirt. Now I am a Cardinal fan. And I will say this before I get too far into this, the Cardinals are winning.
Yeah.
Cubs are losing.
Yeah.
That in itself makes a good day. But God's not interested in all this flash. He's more interested in what's going on the inside. So in other words, the times when you get up in a hurry, you leave the room or leave the house, or you may be in the house, and you get your shirt inside out. This is actually how we should live life. Not showing the flash. Not, in other words, I'm not trying to gain the attention. If you look at me, I'm not trying to steal anything. All the flash is hidden. But there's something else that's showing up here. There's a tag. When we are living inside out, you are showing a tag. That tag is you. It's everything that you represent. This tag tells me a lot. It tells me if this shirt is 100 is it 20% polyester? Is it 50%? Or is this shirt 100%? And obviously, since it's the Cardinal shirt, it is 100%. But really, this shirt is 100% cotton. Since we need to be 100% sold out for the Lord.
Amen.
We are to let people see this. The purpose, we need to let people see this. I'm sold out. We need to let people know that I'm just not a 20% Christian. I just don't go to church on a Sunday, on Christmas.
Amen.
Or on Easter, you know, 2 times a year. My goodness, what do you want? See, that's just a 20. I don't know what that is. That's probably 99% polyester. I don't know what that is. I don't know what you call that. And we'll get in, well, actually, go with me. I'll tell you a good scripture. Go with Matthew chapter 5. This is a good one. Because when we live life inside out, we should be showing something. But a lot of times, if we don't watch it, a lot of times we live life inside out, there's a tendency to be a little bit in the reserve. You know what I mean? we don't really express or testify of our Lord Jesus Christ in the boldness maybe as we should. It's just like wearing this shirt inside out. What do you, when you catch it, when you cut, you know, when you finally found, figured out, I got this shirt inside out, it's sometimes a little embarrassing, isn't it? Especially if you're in the supermarket. I think it's how it is a lot of times spiritually. A lot of Christians are a little bit embarrassed maybe. Maybe not having the boldness they should to be a testimony. We're kind of in a reserve mode. We need to be bold. We need to show our stuff. That, you know, the praise and worship sings a song, look what the Lord has done. Look what He's done on the inside of me. Let me tell you all about it. So we all have a testimony. Now look at this. Psalm, well, I don't have my glasses. Okay. Matthew 5. Oh, boy. Matthew 5, 13. Or actually 14. Matthew 5, 13 says, you are the salt. Verse 14 says, now get this. Now this is what you are. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is hid on the hill cannot be hidden. Nor can they light a lamp and put it under a basket. But on a lampstand, it gives light to all who are in the house. Here it is. Let your light. Whose light? We all have a light. It says, and let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's back up let's do 16 again. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works. We should be manifesting good works. Saints, that involves a lot of things. You do a study on good works in the Bible, you will find it is repeated over and over. The Bible says we are to be rich in good works. We are to maintain our good works. It is constantly talking about good works, our deeds, what we do. And that definitely includes living in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Let's keep in cadence with the Spirit. Let's be in step with the Spirit. Be kind when people are rude. Be in step with the Spirit. It's the easy thing to walk out of love. Someone crosses you, it don't take much to voice your opinion. But the Bible says we are to walk in love. That's part of the works that we are to do. And Jesus said this. He said, I think it's in John 14, 12, I think. He said, the works that I do, you will do also. See, there's works there too. It's not just having, we're getting together on a Saturday night and having bingo for a church benefit. Come on, there's nothing really wrong with that, but we're talking about a little deeper than that. Come on. There's something else this label tells me. So not only does it tells me to have good works, to let our light shine, to be a testimony, but it also gives me who created the shirt. So when people see your good works, what does it say here in verse 16? They may see your good works. To glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, He gets the glory when you do good works. Everything points to the Father. Everything. Listen, all good works that we do, our motive is to lift up the name of Jesus. Our motive is to make sure He gets the credit for it. So point is, when we live a life inside out, God is getting the credit for it. People see the light that's on you. They immediately say, well, I know you're not really capable of doing all that. We'll give God the glory for this because we know you. God gets the credit for it. Isn't that good? This is really a simple message, but I just know it's on my heart to do this. Now, so the tag is your identification, kind of. It's telling people, showing people your good works, your talent, your talents, what God's called you to do. Well, Pastor Chuck, I'm not called to a big ministry or, you know, some CEO job, president. You know, I'm not. Well, wait, don't look at the flash. Come on, don't look at the headlines. Look down in you. What has God? What's your talent? Listen, I don't care if I'm a doorkeeper. I don't care. David said, I don't care if I'm a doorkeeper. I don't care if I'm a doorkeeper in the house of God. I'm not going to live with the wicked. I'm not going to do what they do.
Right.
So I don't care. Listen, when it comes, when the rubber meets the road, when it comes, we're all going to have to appear at the judgment seat of Christ to give account of the deeds done in the body. If His only calling on my life was to be a doorkeeper, and I did that job faithfully, and I did it for His glory, my reward will be just as much as the Apostle Paul's, because I did all that He told me to do, and I did it with love. I did it in faith. I did it for His glory. It doesn't matter. The flash doesn't matter. It's what God's called you to do. Your talent. We are not to bury our talent. We are not to bury our gifts. Let it shine. Let people see it. Don't try to cover something up. Do it with faith. Do it with confidence. Then when you stand before the Lord Jesus, you've done it all. You've done everything He's given you to do, and you did it in faith. Now listen, I had to pay a price for this shirt. The Bible says we've been bought with a price. This is very precious. What's on the inside of you is very precious. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I know this is just about as simple as you can get, but I'm telling you what, if we'll just allow the inward man to have his place, work, and we're going to talk about that. The Bible says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out what God's put in. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Where's He at? He's in you. He's in the inward man. He dwells in you, who you have from God, and you're not your own, for you've been bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So you've been bought with a price. The Bible says we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. So as we go out, we're to glorify Him in our body. As we walk, as we talk, everything we do should give Him glory and praise, because we're made in His image. We're living life from the inside out. Now there's something else that's about this shirt. This shirt, if you notice, has seams. Right? All, you know, all shirts have seams. In this seam, you can't see it, but interwoven in the seam is thread. We'll call that the thread of faith. Faith is keeping this shirt together. I used to work for Value City, and one of my many jobs was stitching. Well, now, when they first told me I was going to be sewing, stitching, I didn't say this out loud, but I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm serious. I'm not doing that. My mom does that. My wife does that. I don't sew. But after, I know it's pride, you know. But after about a month, I figured out that I'm going to have to do this. I've been forced to sew. And I did not like it. But after about 2 or 3 months, I begin, it's okay. Then after about 3 or 4 months, I liked it. It's all right. Because I got to the point, and it probably took about 6 months or maybe a year, maybe about a year. I got to the point, I take the needle. Of course, the needle they give you was this, it wasn't a straight needle, it's an upholstery needle. It had a big curve on it. When they first gave it to me, I go, what's this? Someone bent the needle. Because mom always sewed with a straight one. Well, this thing's bent. But after a while, after sticking myself 100 times, I got used to that. That needle, I can go to a customer's house and I can sew. The trick is to get that needle started from the inside. Once you get that needle started on the inside, get it going and bring it up, I can stitch it now basically from the inside out. And that's what the Word of God do. Listen, the enemy wants to pull your faith. He wants to pull the stitching right out from you. If he can unravel that, you see that in the natural too. In the natural, I've been watching, of course, I'm a football, I like to watch football. I've been watching the Colts play. I've been watching our kicker. And he's basically, I'm not saying that today, but last week, the guy came apart at the seams. Now, how can that be? The guy is just as good as any young kid coming out of college. Even at 47, the guy can kick. And he can probably still outkick him in distance. It's not a problem with his leg. It's not a problem with his ability per se. But it's mental. It's a mental game. And the enemy, just like he does in the natural, like he does in golfing and some of those mental type games, he wants to get in your mind. He wants to get in your mind to cause anxiety, to cause you to worry about things. What's he trying to do? The enemy is trying to get in and pull to unravel your faith. Why is that? Now, why am I trying to get it? Because people see your walk of faith and they see you coming unraveled. Wouldn't it be better testimony if they see us don't come unraveled? Come on. I'm talking about people are looking. And the enemy will cause, he'll bring you anxiety. He'll bring you worry. And the word anxiety itself means to be divided. If you look that up, you do a Strong's Concordance, the word worry or anxiety means to be torn in half. He wants to tear the seam, to take that thread of faith out. And once that starts, have you ever noticed when you start taking the thread out of a material, it's once it starts, if you don't take care of it, it'll begin to unravel really quick. So you got to, when you start feeling something unraveling, that's you got to stop. Because a lot of times we all go through things. In other words, turn with me to chapter Mark chapter 4. That'd be a good one. Mark chapter 4. It's right after Jesus taught the sower sows the word. Mark chapter 4. And I'm sorry, I can't get to my notes. I just cannot see them. Mark chapter 4, verse... I can't see them. It's just like blur. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Jesus gives this command, which we all know this one too. This is nothing new. But he gives us a command, let us cross over to the other side. And of course, we know they go halfway across and a storm comes up, right? But I want to get to what their remarks are. It says in verse 37, this is their remark, their confession here. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? So what are you saying, Pastor Chuck? I'm saying that they, even though they had faith thread to start with, now, that those words that Jesus gave them, they're coming unraveled. In other words, it seems like we're about to perish. It seems, come on, like God's not answering my prayer. It just seems like I can't get, you know, I can't get the right job. I just can't seem to do the right thing here. So I'm just a little confused. It just seems like God has deserted me. It just seems, and you can go on and on and on with the seams. What you're doing by the words of your confession is you're starting to unravel by the very words of your mouth. The devil cannot unravel you. You can unravel yourself. He is a con artist. And what he wants you to do is to live out of the outward man, what you see. He wants to convince you that where you're at is where you're stuck. He wants to convince you that your boat is going to sink. He wants to convince you that it's all falling apart. There's nothing you can do. And then what happens? By you listening to all those lies, you begin to say, it seems like it's true. It sure seems like it. And what you're doing is you're allowing the enemy to get a foothold. Now you're unraveling. So what you have to do, remember Mary and Martha? Martha went through this. Mary and Martha, we know about that. Okay, Martha, she goes to the Lord and says, Lord, it seems like I'm doing all the work. Do you remember that? She goes to Jesus. It seems like I'm doing all the work here. Go and tell Mary, get her good self in here. It's all paraphrased. To get herself in here. It just seems like I'm doing it all. And Jesus replied and said, Martha, Martha, when your name gets mentioned twice, when my mom would say, Charles, and then she'd say my middle name, I'm in trouble. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're troubled, you're worried, you're anxious about many things. In other words, she's coming unraveled because of worry. Worry will cause a split in the seam if you allow it to. Mary is not coming unraveled. Mary chose to do what? To sit at the feet of Jesus. I guarantee you, Mary has issues too. I guarantee you, with her past history, just read the Bible, she's got some problems too, mentally, that she's going to deal with. So how does she deal with it? She's spending time. Here's the antidote for worry. Here's the antidote for being troubled about many things. Spending time in His presence. Spending time at the feet of Jesus. What she's doing, she's casting her care, that trouble that's trying to cause a rip in the seam. Instead of saying, it seems like this is happening, she's saying, I'm going to cast all my care at His feet. I'm going to give it to Him, and I'll take His yoke. I'll take what He has to offer. What does Jesus have to offer? First of all, His presence and His Word. That Word has stitched things right back up. I go back into a place, and I'll stitch it up, and it's stronger than it was originally. Just by the thread itself that I use, I can stitch it, I would double it. So I could actually make that place in that seat cushion or whatever, maybe actually not only not even see it hidden, but I can double it up. If we'll let the Word, sometimes you may have to double up whatever it takes. Spend some time in His presence. Don't allow the enemy to rip apart your seams. Just because he throws a circumstance at you, that doesn't mean it's the truth.
Amen.
Amen. I think that's it for the shirt. Now, if you want the Cardinal shirt, you cannot have that. Now, if they don't win the division, then I might just give it to you. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hallelujah. Living out of the inward man. Hallelujah. Are you there? Yes. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. It says, Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Now, verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Do you get that? He said, or in other words, you could also use the word provoke or something. You know, he says, each other. Let us stir up love. Well, where's that love going to come from? The Bible says that love of God's been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So that love's coming from within. Good works, where's that coming from? It has to come from within. So these things are going to come up within us. Living life inside out. He says, stir up love and good works. So a lot of times we got to shake ourselves. Sometimes you get in a place, everything, you know, you get up, you go to work, you come home, you get up, you go to work, come home, and it's just kind of a rut. And there's times we forget we need to stir ourselves up. I just happen to have a Pepsi can. You should always carry one with you, with the Cardinal shirt. Well, in this can, now, if I was, you know, you're not afraid of this, are you? No. Yeah. The spirit man, your inward, the hidden man, there's things in you that need to come out. Now, and a lot of times the devil's not even afraid. You're born again doesn't mean the devil's afraid of you, right? But if I was to take this same can, the same, and nothing's changed, right? I didn't know, no movement of the hand, everything's still the same. If I was to start shaking it, they'll let me open this now. Whoa, when he moved. Did you see that? Before he wasn't afraid of it. But once I shook it up, I'm not going to open it. But he moved. This young man, he's not afraid of anything, I can tell. But once I shook this up, he did a move. Saints, we got things in us that need to come out. As if we live a life that's not stirred up, not shaken, nothing's going to come out. Now, if I open this up, you're going to know it. People all know you. People all know us. And I'm not talking about in an arrogant way. I'm not talking about, you know, showboat. I'm just talking about, yeah, I know that person. That's a person of faith. I know that person. They'll pray for you. I know that person. Why? Because they saw something. They saw something come out of you. Right? You get that? You know, Paul told Timothy, man, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. We ought not be hiding what God's given us on the inside. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Not to do nothing, but to be a witness for His glory. Yeah. To where to bring out what's on the inside out. In other words, we probably need to go look at it. Turn with me to, I think it's 2 Philippians, chapter 2, verse 12. Now I better put this Coke down, or Pepsi. It says, in verse 12, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, this is something we should take seriously. We should spend our times, if we got to shake ourselves, which let me go on. Work out your own salvation, fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining, disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom, here it is, you shine as lights in the world. What are you supposed to do? Shine as light. Where's that light coming from? It's coming from within. So yes, if we don't stir ourselves up, there's a lot of things that's not going to come out. They'll lay dormant. There has to be a shaking within us. And I forgot, I should have read the rest of that. It gets even better in Hebrews chapter 10. I quit. I didn't finish that. It says, stir each other up. It talked about dissembling together. We better look at that. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read that because I think it's been laxed. Now, Pastor Chuck, you're getting it. It's all by grace. I'm not into performance. Well, Bible talks about alive faith and dead faith. Alive faith is doing something. Alive faith will do. And it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. But he's not finished, is he? There's a comma. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The day's here. I firmly believe, yes, the rapture could take place, but I also believe there's going to be an increase in persecution. And I guarantee you, if your inward man isn't strong enough, you're going to fold up like a chair. You have to be strong on the inside. Oh, Pastor Chuck, why, persecution? Oh, come on. Listen, the early church went through it. What makes you think you're not? When the persecution hit the early church, that's when the power of God showed up. Bible said I think it's in Acts chapter 4, the persecutions and all this stuff started to escalate, but then it says great grace, great power came upon the apostles. Listen, if we want great power, great grace come upon us, I suspect there's going to be some persecution going around. It's not all luff and fluff and, we live in the United States. I don't know how bad it will get here. I don't know. I'm all for going on the first bus tonight. Come, Lord, quickly. I'm all for it. But if we do have to go through something, you're going to have to live it out of the inner man. You're not going to be able to do it. Faith doesn't work outside. Faith works from within. It's going to take some faith. It's going to take some endurance, some perseverance. Amen. And you're going to have to be stirred up. You have no choice there. I mean, I think a lot of times God allows certain things to happen to us to get us stirred up. Because human tendency is we want to be comfortable. If I have a choice between two roads, this road is hard road, and this road is the easy road, come on. I'm going to take the easy road. If they both go to the same place, why take the hard road? I'll take the easy one, thank you. But a lot of times, God will allow. The Bible talks about hardships. Don't say, well, we don't have to go through anything. No, there's hardships. There's persecutions. If you want to live a godly life, there will be persecutions. People will talk about you. But we do live in the United States, and usually it's just talk. What I'm saying is, build your inner man up. Have your inner man to dominate you. Your inward man should be leading the charge. Living life from the inside out. When you get to a point where you're living from the inside out, you're not being pushed to the left and to the right by what you're seeing, by what you're hearing. Man, you're on rock solid foundation. You're just doing the Word of God. You're living it. Amen. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.